From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 24th day of August 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. The folks from the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana will be here to take up the agricultural cash grain markets. And Drew Lerner with World Weather Incorporated will take a look at the forecast for the Midwest and the rest of the planet and check in on all of the growing regions. Along the way, speaking of growing regions, Chip Flory out on the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour will join us with an update from Nebraska and Iowa today on the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. The nearby September wheat at $7.49 and a quarter, at down 8. And July contract of next year, 4.5 lower at $8.21. September corn futures in Chicago, $7.31 and three quarters, a penny and a half higher. December, the harvest month, at $7.43 for the new crop, down a half. And March contract at $7.54, down 1 cent. May futures $7.57 and a quarter, 0.75 cents lower. July at $7.58 and three quarters, down a half. And December of 2012, $6.54 and three quarters, down 4 and three quarters. September soybeans for the day, $13.86 and a half, down 3. November at $13.93 and a half, down 3 and three quarters. January at $14.03 and three quarters, down 2 and three quarters. The March at $14.05 and three quarters, a penny and 3 quarters lower. And July contract at $14 and a nickel, down 0.75 cents. Bean meal at $3.67, off $1.30. Bean oil at $55.78, 16 cents higher on the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the August at $113.25, down 85 cents. October contract at $113.92 and a half, down $1.12 and a half cents. And the feeder cattle finished the August contract 22.5 cents lower at $133.50. September futures at $131.55 for the feeder cattle, down $2.07 and a half cents. October lean hogs $87 and a nickel, down $1.17 and a half. December at $83.45, down 87 and a half. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures, October contract $84.97 a barrel, down 47 cents. Ethanol at $2.90 and 7 cents, a penny and 4 cents higher. Natural gas at $3.92 and a half, down 6 and 8 tenths of a cent. Heating oil or diesel fuel, a penny and a half higher at $2.95 and 8 cents. And the gold futures finished $1,754.10 an ounce. We'll get maybe a quote from Paul Cooley on that number in a moment to see where it finished down, because the number I'm seeing surely cannot be right. Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,240, at just about 63 points higher for the day. The dollar at 74.01 is up 0.11 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for Urbana-Champaign as it comes from the National Weather Service for this afternoon. They say, yep, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. That'll happen after 4 p.m. today. Mostly sunny skies otherwise, a high near 94. The heat index values as high as 102 degrees. West-southwest winds at about 14 miles an hour. They'll gust to 22. The chance of precip in the area set at 50%. Tonight, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms before 1 a.m. Partly cloudy then. A low of 61 degrees, northwest winds at about 8 miles an hour. Chance of precip this evening set at 40%. Thursday should show us sunny skies, a high of 83. Thursday night clear, a low of 57. Friday sunny and 83. Friday night clear and 63. Saturday mostly sunny, a high of 85 degrees. Saturday night partly cloudy, a low of 61. By the time we get to Sunday, the skies will be sunny with a high of 81 degrees, partly cloudy on Sunday night, a 62 degree low temperature, and on Monday, partly sunny skies, a high of 82. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, joins us to take a look at the futures markets. Thanks so much for taking the time, not only today, Paul, but last night, for making your way over to Decatur to the Macon County Extension Center for our Will Ag Outlook meeting there.
Well, thank you, Todd, and of course, a special thanks and tip of the hat to Paul Merriman. He's a tremendous host, and they have a beautiful facility over at the junior college, and we had a nice crowd and a lot of nice questions from the audience.
We did indeed have a lot of nice questions. Actually, I was back on site today. I'll mention this at this point. Not at the Macon County Extension facility, but on Richland Community College site, which is also adjacent to the Farm Progress Show site. It was media day there. They were getting ready for a big show next week. And, Paul, you'll be at that one with us, too, next Wednesday, a week from today.
It'll be a lot of fun, and we'll have a lot of visitors at your tent. And it'll be an exciting day. And I'll tell you what, it'll be just wait, and hopefully we'll get a rain that day for those wonderful people in Macon County that need a rain so very desperately.
And next week, if you come to the Farm Progress Show site and you come in the main gate, hang a right, right there on that first street and go about a block and a half, the University of Illinois tent will be there at 10:30, 2 o'clock, and 3 o'clock on Wednesday. But each day we'll have analysts up on stage with us and, of course, panelists from the University of Illinois, too. Let's talk about the marketplace as you see it today. Did you take a look at the numbers that came in from Indiana and Nebraska last night from the Midwest Crop Tour?
Well, they were smaller than expected, and one of the questions, I have a customer that's on the tour, and he's been on it for several years, and we had a phone conversation. He had two or three people that were on the tour, and they wanted to know what the prices were doing, and I left with the feeling is that the corn definitely below expectations, and even though the pod counts are a little smaller in beans, he's not ready to write the soybean crop off just yet. The big factor here, of course, is that we generally think that the market is anticipating a smaller crop both in corn and soybeans. And I think that's the market's leaning in the right direction. It is amazing how orderly the market is acting at this time, and that has some people, you know, including myself, a little worried about really what's going on. Are we too high? Is there other outside markets like the gold creating uneasiness in the marketplace? And, of course, there seems to be a lot of risk aversion in the marketplace, traders waiting for Jackson Hole on Friday or the USDA report on September the 11th, or they just don't want to put anything on the table because of market reaction.
Hey, speaking of the gold, I hesitated to give that number out because I can't imagine the number that I'm looking at is correct.
The December gold is 1759.80, down 101.50.
Right.
The low is, let me get you the exact
low. So it was down $101
today. Yes.
Yeah, that was hesitant to say it because I was reading it as 104.20 lower on a settlement price.
The low, the official low is 1751.60.
That is a
unusual
drop.
Deal, and of course, I don't think they raised the margin requirements, and it was a little lower yesterday, and it, of course, it took the bump. One of Cramer's ideas is if the best thing that can happen to the stock market is gold go down, and the stock market is a little higher today, about 82 points. So, you know, that's one of the big things we're watching right now.
I know you're waiting impatiently for Mr. Bernanke and Friday and the Jackson Hole financial event. What do you hope that he has to say?
Well, he is, in my opinion, a pretty smart person, and that's an office that has a tremendous amount of responsibility, and that's a beautiful place to be this time of year, I understand. The thing we hope is, of course, is he's very steady, he's optimistic, he is very pro stimulus, and I think the market is anticipating some help there. The Fed hasn't done anything to discourage that, and he's a bright enough person to know that the market wants some further clarification. And, so I think that the market is leaning in the right direction.
Go back to this idea that you mentioned earlier on about the market acting awfully orderly at these high levels, and that concerned you just a bit. Why is that the case?
Well, the smart Central Illinois guy, when he goes out and knows that this corn crop is overestimated in Illinois at 170, and the general feeling is that we could see a crop that's at least 10 to 10 bushels, I think, less than that on this next USDA report. And as a result of that, if we are looking at a crop from the government somewhere in that 150 area, maybe a bushel or two one way or the other, the market should be acting a little bit stronger than it is. One excuse is, of course, is harvest. The other one is that the market's, just doesn't want to risk much risk right here. So the bottom line here is that the market is very, very quiet, with as much of the marketplace is focused on the reduced yields. At some point in time, we did tack about $8 corn last night and throughout the trading days and past meetings, but the market sure isn't wanting to go there before this report.
Okay, thanks so much for taking the time.
Hopefully that wasn't too confusing, my last answer.
No, well, if you want to restate it, I don't think it was. I think basically you said the market's waiting it out and it wants to look at a report before it goes to $8.
Right.
Okay.
Have a good one.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. Joined us on a Wednesday afternoon. Now here's Dave with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Senate Agriculture Committee ranking minority member Pat Roberts, a Republican from Kansas, says that the administration is overregulating farmers and ranchers. In a letter to President Barack Obama, Roberts outlines specific directives and regulations the administration has proposed or has in development that illustrate his point. The letter comes following an August 17th town meeting the president hosted in Illinois, during which time a farmer expressed concerns over proposed regulations governing dust pollution, noise pollution, and water runoff. The president answered by telling the farmer that he shouldn't believe everything he hears. Roberts' letter in part says, quote, "I want to assure you that this farmer's concerns are justified. I urge you to do all that you can to put the brakes on this regulatory agenda aimed at rural America." Bunge North America says it is surprised and disappointed in a lawsuit filed by seed and chemical company Syngenta over Bunge's decision not to accept grain from new seed containing the Viptera insecticide trait. Syngenta announced on August 22nd it had filed suit in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Iowa, claiming Bunge violated a number of federal and state laws and is attempting to block the legal merchandising of the AgriSure Viptera trait. In a statement issued yesterday, Bunge North America reiterated its point that the key issue was the grain did not have import approval into China.
Hey, thanks, Dave. That's Dave Dickey. He's Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This is Public Radio for the Farming World. Doesn't look like Chip Flory is going to get to us today. That's fine, because I took the opportunity yesterday afternoon to talk with Chris Hurt, Purdue Extension Ag Economist, about the livestock sector. We started by taking up the numbers from last week's Cattle on Feed report, which was awfully big. Can you take the livestock sector as a whole and look at consumption, given what the poultry industry has decided to do with the weights at which it's marketing chickens, and what the pork industry might be doing in the coming months, and tell me how that might bode for total corn consumption in the coming marketing year.
Well, of course, I think with these strong cattle on feed numbers, you know, we don't see much change in the hog herd, that's going to be fairly status quo. We are looking at a little bit of increase in both turkey and pork for next year, about 1% on per capita supplies. So right at this point, we don't see a rationing or reduction in corn usage for the animals industry with regard to the numbers. Probably the broiler sector is the one that apparently is struggling most in terms of financial returns at this point, and appears to be the one that will cut the most rapidly their corn usage going into harvest this year and starting to use the 2011 crop this fall. The pork industry, you know, we think they can pay probably in the $7 range for corn. That appears to be about where the futures market is pricing new crop corn. I'm talking about a U.S. average farm price. And that may be slightly higher now, maybe in the 710 to 715 range for a U.S. average farm price that the futures is pricing. So I think we're going to be looking for the weak links in the whole usage base of corn, especially as there are growing concerns that we may be even shortening the crop up from what the USDA had in their August estimate. And that means trying to get end users, someone to cut back in a time period when there's not a lot of willingness to cut back.
Yeah, well, that's my question as a follow-up, because I thought maybe that when we asked you about livestock that we would see a cutback in consumption because there would be fewer numbers, that they would be going to market faster, that total consumption might come down, but it doesn't appear that will be the case. If livestock's not the weak link, where is the weak link?
Well, the weak link is still to be determined. We, as economists, have often thought that the export market, our foreign buyers, would be one of the areas where we would get cutbacks. One of the reasons for that is that some of our foreign buyers are in developing countries where their incomes are not as high. And the thought was that they would feel the financial stress on their consumers more quickly and they would cut back. Our evidence from 2007-2008, when we had to have very high prices to get some end users to cut back, was that the world actually bought more corn and other products that year. And I think this is a different world that we live in. We have a very weak U.S. dollar. We have a great concern in many countries, including China, South Korea, with very high food inflation. We have governments that are anxious to do everything they can to avoid those high cost of food and high increasing rates of food. And that means almost at any cost they will buy in the world market. So I think what that suggests to me is that it is going to be the livestock sector that cuts back. It may not be the export or our foreign buyers that cut back, and that we have to ratchet prices, especially if we're going to cut yield somewhat more above the $7 or low $7 range. We have to convince the livestock industry in this country that these prices are not going to moderate on corn, that it's going to be really the 2012 U.S. crop before we can begin to talk about moderation. And unfortunately for the livestock feeder, that's still over a year away.
Well, if you tell me that it has to be the livestock sector, and they look like they can manage $7 corn, that only tells me $8 corn has to be in the offing for long enough that it makes the livestock sector say no.
Yeah, and, you know, we have to be always cautious about putting any round number, but I think that number above $7 is what it is going to take to do that this year. And we might go back to 07, 08, and that year our livestock industries were at a point where once you got corn into certainly above four, but then moved on to $5, $6. That was enough. They threw their hands up. They really responded after those high prices in 2007 and 2008. And I think our livestock industry today is primarily now geared to be able to pay the prices of 07, 08. Why is that? Because they really took huge losses in 08, 09. They reduced their herds. They reduced their flocks. So now if we just look at the amount of meats and poultry available in the U.S. on a per capita basis for 2012 versus 07, the last year before corn prices really went up, we're going to see beef per capita supplies 15% lower for U.S. consumers in 2012 versus 07, pork 8% less pork, turkey 7% less, and chicken 3% less. That's 9% less red meats and poultry in the United States. In other words, the livestock industries have really reduced their supply. They've got their product prices higher where they can pay $7. You got to go above 7 to convince them for another round of cuts. Now, to me, we're going through, in essence, what we did in 07, 08. You have to tell them it's a new era. Those prices are not going to be below $6. They're going to be 7 or higher for an extended period of time, and they're going to have to make the adjustment.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
That's Purdue Extension Ag Economist Chris Hurt. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
This is the Closing Market Report. Time to check the cash grain market. Scott Butcher of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana, is on the phone line. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Todd.
When will you begin harvest there, you think?
Well, I think we probably will see some pretty good activity after Labor Day. Really feels like we don't see a lot before then. It just kind of depends on, you know, how hot and dry it stays between now and then. We could actually, that could get moved up on us a little bit.
Things drying down fairly quickly then, and it's remained dry in your area.
Yeah, it has remained dry. We got a little bit of rain yesterday afternoon. I don't really know, maybe a half inch or something like that in some areas, but, you know, it just kind of depends on where you are. I mean, it really is getting pretty dry, and, you know, obviously with the warm temperatures, things are maturing quickly.
Earlier in this broadcast, our analysts suggested that the market seemed awfully orderly at these high levels. I was a little concerned about that. Do you share the same concerns?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, it just kind of seems like from my perspective, I think, you know, we obviously, you know, been pretty strong this week. The pro farmer activity is, making that, probably more aggressive than what it would be normally. We just keep hearing more and more negative news out of that. So, you know, that looks like that's probably going to continue for a while anyway. So I would say we're going to stay strong.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn right now, 754, beans, 1378.
And how far under are you?
Right now we are, that's actually still over on corn, 11 over the Dease, beans,
right.
15 under.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
That is Scott Butcher. He's at the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. Joins us on this Wednesday afternoon. We'll say so long to some of our radio stations now. For the rest of you, stay with us. We'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. If you can't hear him on the radio, you can always visit us online and listen at willag.org.
It's National Peach Pie Day. It's also St. Bartholomew's Day, patron of cheese merchants and butchers. On this day in agricultural history in 1842, Benjamin Wright died. An American engineer, he directed the construction of the Erie Canal. Wright made the project a school of engineering project. And until the mid-1800s, almost every civil engineer in the U.S. had either directly trained with or trained under someone who had worked with Wright on the canal. In 1869, Cornelius Swarthout received the first U.S. patent for a waffle iron. In 1894, Rudolf Geiger was born, a German meteorologist. He was one of the founders of microclimatology, the study of climate conditions within a few feet of the soil. His observations made above grassy fields and areas of crops shed light on the complex interactions between vegetation, heat, radiation, and water balances of the air and soil. In 1909, workers poured the first concrete for the Panama Canal. Finishing all the locks took nearly 4 years. In 1918, Roy McIntyre was born, a chemical engineer who worked for Dow Chemical Company. He invented styrofoam. And in 1997, Lewis Essen died, an English physicist. He invented the first practical atomic clock. His cesium beam atomic clock ultimately changed the way time is measured. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's a Wednesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Earlier today, I was at the Farm Progress Show site in Decatur for Media Day, and they are preparing for a big week next week there. Hopefully big crowds and crowds that will be able to watch harvest. The crops will be ready. They expect to have combines in the field daily on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 11 o'clock and tillage at 1 o'clock each and every day of that show. On the phone line with us to talk about whether or not it'll be nice weather to visit Decatur and other things is Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Drew, tell me about next week.
Well, it does look like we're going to have some favorable late season summer time weather. We are not expecting a tremendous amount of rain potential. It looks to me like we have a weak little frontal system that will try to cut across the region sometime. Well, I imagine it's going to be around midweek that will likely set off a few showers possibly, but I don't think any of these are going to hold together very well at all. I think we're really going to be able to get by for a while through a big part of next week without much measurable precipitation, and the temperature forecast is really looking fairly good as well, with the readings probably daily getting up into the 80s across the region. So it should be a really good opportunity there to do all kinds of things outside.
Mm-hmm. Come out and see us at the Farm Progress Show. I'll be at the University of Illinois tent. We'll talk more about that later. Tell me about the weather that came through here yesterday and the rainfall that I think came through not only this part of the world, but to the north of us, too.
Yeah, most of the significant rains, and they were pretty impressive, occurred along and north of a line from around Cedar Rapids, Iowa, through the Peoria, Illinois area, and down to Champaign, Illinois. Now, most of the precipitation to the south of that line was insignificant, and there wasn't really much relief. But areas to the north, a lot of locations got some 1 to 2 inch amounts. A few counties out there did even better than that. I think there was even some locations in Iowa that had 2 and 3 inch amounts. So a really nice, welcome amount of relief. Northern and eastern Iowa had been dry for almost a month, at least maybe not in the absolute sense, but definitely drier than usual in an extreme case where 25% of normal precipitation or less for a lot of that area. So the rains that occurred earlier this week up that way were fantastic, and we did a pretty good job in at least a few areas in central Illinois, but obviously we still have at least the southwestern, one-third to one-half of the state that still needs a big drink of water. I don't think that's coming anytime soon. We may get a few showers every once in a while, but it's certainly not going to be enough to fix the moisture deficits. And, of course, at this point, it's almost too late anyway, so we really want to have it dry for the harvest.
How about the rest of the globe? What do you see very quickly that might be worth talking about?
Well, I think we're watching the fact that we've had frost and freezes all over the past week in the northern parts of Russia's New Lands region. That area is has some wheat and some spring wheat that usually doesn't see freezes until the first days in September. So this is unusually early there, a little symptom of what may be coming to North America a little bit later in September. Outside of that, though, we're having a heat wave in southeastern parts of Europe, stressing some of the late corn and soybeans there. And in China, everything looks just about ideal right now.
Thanks so much, Drew.
Have a great day.
That's Drew Lerner.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.